Hi, friends. I'm Chandra Sanchez.
And I'm Misha Lazera.
And you're listening to Band Wives. Good morning, Misha. Good afternoon, actually.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm excellent. As I was just telling you, my child's bus didn't come today. No warning, no call, no information, just didn't come. So I called his little friend who lives down the street because they take the bus together and picked him up in my satin PJs. Really rocking it.
Oh, I love that they were satin. What print?
They're just black with like white piping.
Oh, I've seen those before.
Yeah. Fancy.
Oh my gosh. School bus is like a luxury, a dream. I mean, not when they don't show up and you're having to scramble, but just hearing you.
I'm like, one day of having to drive him feels like the hardest day on earth.
Well, you're driving in New York City. I mean, it's not easy.
It's more just the loss of time, you know? Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. It's a loss of time, but it's also like the diversion of attention and also the your energy. You know, like everyone has a certain amount of energy every day and that's used up some.
Yep.
I know how that goes. I have started taking, I'm not drinking this month and I am to take the month off and I've been trying to exercise and I've started these vitamin things. I do this every year.
This is excellent.
You know, I go through these phases, but I have to feel like I have to reel myself in. You know me. I'm can ha- like to have fun, and I really don't like the word diet. I'm uncomfortable even saying it into this microphone. So it's not, you know, it's not that route, but it's just like that spring getting healthy. I love swimsuits and I love feeling great in a swimsuit regardless of what I, you know, what I look like, but I want to feel good. And so I like get this little routine in my head just so I'm ready. No matter what it look, no matter what I actually look like, I want to feel good about it.
Yes.
So it's my little spring cleaning
internal. I love that. I think it's great. I said to Claudio the other day, I was like, should I get my gym membership back? Literally, I just canceled it a month ago. Haven't used it in a year. But you know, he has Planet Fitness. So you can bring like a guest.
Is there one close by?
There is. There's a few close by. I don't know. But then have to be on the same schedule, which has been challenging.
So true.
You know, like I really kind of need the extra set of hands as much as I love going to the gym together. It's very romantic, but all hands on deck over here.
No, that's true. I grew up going just to the gym all the time and all that. And I did in college because it was kind of what I did in high school. Mm-hmm. And then I haven't been really since.
No.
I like the why. Yeah, I like the why, but I don't want to go to some gross, sweaty, dark place without natural sunlight, which is what the gyms are like here, and exercise when I can take a beautiful walk, stretch in the sunlight. So I'm not a gym person, but I do support the Y because the kids take swimming lessons, taekwondo, and camp.
Yep, we were members for a long time, but now they're a little bit far. I don't know. Today's the first sunny day that we've had in like a month. So I'm feeling motivated, but we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, same. It feels good to feel like you're doing something, even if whatever, come what may.
How was your weekend?
It was great. We had Sylvia's birthday parties, which was so fun. Lots of friends and family. And then tonight, we're going to see Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Like a family activity or?
Me and Adam. Date night.
That's so nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I had a great weekend. We went to my brother-in-law and sister had a baby shower.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. I saw the pictures. We had the best time. It was so much fun. They weren't really able to have like any other showers for their babies. They were all like pandemic babies. So they like went all out and had a DJ and it was just so much fun. We danced and hung out and I love watching all the babies together. It's my favorite. And then tomorrow's Claude's birthday.
Oh, tell him happy birthday from
I
us.
will. I think we're going to, I'm taking him to see Dune in the morning. He hasn't
Oh.
seen it. And I'm going to get him that popcorn bucket that everybody's trying to have sex with. This is like a whole thing.
I have missed it. I
Oh
missed
my God.
everything.
It was like an SNL skit. It's horrifying. I won't even bring you down.
Okay, well, I'm gonna look it up after
There
this,
we
so.
go. And then in the evening, I got tickets to, do you remember that Sufjan Stevens album, Come on, Feel the Illinois? So they have a dance production and there's like an orchestra and it's supposed to be just really interesting and cool. So I got tickets to that for him in the evening. And we love that album. So that's our big plan.
That sounds amazing. What a beautiful day you've planned.
I know, I'm very excited.
And your birthday's not too far away.
It's not, it's next month.
I have a few things to tell you. We probably won't have time for all of them, but
Tell me, tell me.
tell you in secret. Okay, so next September, long way away, I'm holding one of my vitamins.
You're like, love
I'm
for emphasis.
psyching myself up to swallow it. They're so big and there's so many. I was telling my friends, I'm like, about it last night. I'm like, oh, there's so many vitamins. So like, I don't take any vitamins. And I was like, I don't think I will next month, but this is my month.
Good. Just restock for the year.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, next September, around Adam's birthday, Asbury Park Festival with
Oh my
Bruce
God.
Springsteen in September, and we should go.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing is, I felt the need to share this with you while we were recording because I didn't think I should keep it a secret. Because I've vocally talked about this before. I have a Botox appointment at the end of the month. I
Whoa.
know it was like two of my friends are designers. I do creative marketing, and they both know this person who they work with for in various projects. And so they were both talking about it. I had lunch with both of them in the same week, and they both mentioned it, and they had both done it. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll try it.
The more you realize like how many people are just doing it and not saying anything,
I know.
the benchmark is now somewhere else and I didn't even know.
I feel two ways about it, but I'm gonna try it.
So what was your like catalyst?
But definitely those my friends. But I hate to say this. I think we can age however we want and age gracefully, and we don't need to judge how we look ever. But I've always had this, and we've this line right here between my eyes, which we've talked
From
about.
feeling so
But I
much.
have new wrinkles that don't go away. After I lift my forehead, and then there's these, they're staying forever. And
Yeah.
that's new. It's brand new. And so I'm just having to adjust to that. And I think I'm gonna just try. And listeners might feel like seen, they might feel judged, they might judge me.
No, I think that full, real, authentic feminism is coming full circle, being like, I know that I should be breaking this down and being like, I'm raging against that. Then you can rage against it and then be like, but I still want to look pretty.
Well, and you can look pretty. I could look pretty with all my wrinkles, and that's what I'm trying to tell
Somebody else's
myself.
interpretation, like your own, right?
Yes, I want to
Like,
feel.
yes, I wear makeup like when I go downstairs to run on the treadmill alone. I'll be like, I'm gonna put this red lipstick. It's like, it's for you. That's all that matters.
I was out with my friends one day, and we went by this gym, and the sign said "Look better naked," and we were very offended. I was very offended. I was out there like looking at the sign, and the owner of the gym came out. And we had a lot of words with him, but we're like, why
Ooh.
can't it say feel better naked? Like, looks are, it's all like subjective.
100%. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi. I'm nodding over here because I'm like, whatever. I don't know how it started, but yes, I agree wholeheartedly. I am living in my wrinkles and I'm here for it.
I'm torn. I was telling Chandra that I got my first ever Botox appointment. I don't know if I'll keep it. I don't know if I'll ever go back if I do go. So I'm just kind of like, two of my friends mentioned it in the same week, the same woman. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a try. And I have new wrinkles that actually don't disappear.
I think that when I thought about Botox initially, we'd like had a plastic surgeon as one of our clients when we did social media. And she was like, everybody that comes to this event can get Botox. Or like there was another thing. I don't remember what it was, something even scarier. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Because I had imagined somebody who had the eyes like got stuck like this or, and she's like, unless you go to a 7-Eleven and get it done in the bathroom, like you're going to be fine. That's not going to happen.
God, fingers crossed.
And you can also be like, I don't want a lot.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Take the edge off. Literally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, literally. Okay. Well,
anyway.
All right. All opinions welcome on that, but for
you
yourself.
You can back out too.
Yeah, right. I don't think I will, but I don't know if I'll ever go back. It just depends how I feel and if I can like emote properly afterwards. We'll see. Okay, I'm going to introduce Caitlin real quick so we can include you in this conversation. Caitlin Thompson is a mom of two wild but sweet boys, Oliver, who is 6 years old, and Jack, who is 4 years old, married to Hunter, guitarist for We the Kings, originally from Tampa, like every other guest we've ever had, Tampa, Florida, studied fashion merchandising in New York City, and now lives in Kernersville, North Carolina, where she works as a national account manager for a home hardware manufacturer. Caitlin loves spending time outdoors, taking bubble baths, and losing herself in a good book. Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Caitlin.
Okay, let's jump in.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I just looked at all of us and I'm like, with the three blondes, got a party, got a blonde party today. Oh, yeah. All right. So what are you juggling this week?
This week is, gosh, this is actually like a big juggling week. So in that word jumble of you talking about my job title, I, in the last year or so of my job, have picked up a lot of travel. And, you know, us van wives, we've also noticed the same pattern with our spouses as the world has gotten back to normal and they're getting back out on the road. So we're in this crazy month of travel for me where it just so happens that Hunter is home. So thankfully, I leave at the dark crack of morning tomorrow to head to Las Vegas, and I'll be there for 3 days. And so really like just getting everything ready. Cause isn't it funny, at least from my experience, I feel like, you know, when our husbands leave and they go on the road, they pack their suitcase and they're like, bye, see ya. I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave for 3 days. I'll be back on Friday morning. But I'm like, okay, I went to Costco yesterday and I got all the groceries. And I'm like, here is some ideas for dinners for the night. Make sure that Oliver has his homework done. And, you know, Jack needs this at school. And I'm like, I have to feel like I have to arrange everything. And he's perfectly capable. And he's, you know, a very involved hands-on dad. But it's just that mentality where I'm like, I am, in addition to packing my own stuff and getting ready to go, I feel like I'm doing everything to leave. And it's, you know, things that he can very easily do himself. And he will not be stressed when I'm gone. But in my head, I'm like, the house will fall apart.
Especially when you could always call me, but I do the same thing. I'm like, whoa.
I do too.
I could literally have you Instacarted groceries in 8 minutes, but like, I think that's just a woman's brain.
I think it is. And we do it to ourselves, you know?
For sure. There are so many things during the day that I could easily let go of, but it's almost like a need.
And do you feel like if you have, you know, a little bit of downtime or a little bit of like calm space in the day, you need to fill it with something? You know, like bathroom needs to be cleaned or the dishwasher just made that sound. Let's go unload it. But it's like that stuff can wait.
Yeah. Working from home, I think, is challenging. I'm not sure if you do, but you see what needs to be done all day, whereas out of sight, out of mind.
It is. And I do. I work from home. And, you know, we were kind of a hybrid schedule. So for like 3 weeks out of the month, I'm at home. And then the last month I'm in the office and I get in this tizzy where I feel like I'm so unproductive in the home during the week that I'm in the office, but I'm like, gosh, that's what we used to be all the time. Yeah. And you had to get the stuff done in the nights and weekends. But I fill that space all day long in between my work calls and in between going to the kitchen to get a snack. And I'm like, oh, let's do this task. Let's do that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're working, whether it's with home stuff or work stuff, all the time. I do want to know a little bit about home hardware manufacturing. And also, are you going to like a conference in Las Vegas? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. So the company that I work for manufactures like cabinet and bath hardware. So, you know, drawer pulls and knobs and towel bars and toilet paper holders and shower doors. It's all very exciting. So it's funny when I'm thinking about like my career trajectory that's gotten me here. And I studied fashion merchandising, and I worked in apparel merchandising for a while. And then I worked in office and school supply merchandising. And then now I'm in home hardware. So I've gone to like several different, I guess, industries of merchandising, but it's all, you know, kind of similar. But at least with this, it feels like it's a little bit more decorative. We're yeah. looking at finishes, and we're looking at color trends and style trends and stuff. So it is fun. And yeah, I'm going for a conference. One of the customers that I support has a big meeting out in Las Vegas every year. So okay. going out there for that, traveling with some of my coworkers. So it's fun, but it's a lot and it's exhausting.
Yeah. I love the hardware aisle.
It's one of those things that's like, it makes such a big difference with such a, like a simple update. And it's kind of nerdy because I live that all day at work, but I really do believe it.
Yeah.
Change out like the hardware in your kitchen and it makes a big difference.
I bet you have great hardware in your house.
I have changed almost everything. Our house was, we just had like a spec house. And so little by little, we've been trying to make it a little bit more unique. And so I think at this point I've done everything except for one bathroom. So one more to go.
Amazing.
So fun.
So in addition to all of this, what is something that listeners might be surprised to hear about your life?
I'm just not that exciting or interesting. I know that's probably a hard one for people to answer. I think that, when I was in middle school and high school, my mom, so I'm the youngest of three kids, and my mom, I say made, but she made us all do music, whether that was orchestra or band or chorus. And so my older brother and sister both chose orchestra. So for years, I went to orchestra concert after orchestra concert, and it's beautiful, but when you're a kid, it's boring. And so when the time came and I started middle school and you had to choose which one to do, I chose band because I was like, well, it's going to be different. And so chose band, decided to play the flute. And you too?
Yeah, I played the flute also.
Yes. And so I stuck with it through middle school and through high school. And then, you know, once you get to high school, you have to do marching band too. And that was like, that was hard for me. I was not interested, but you don't really get a choice. And so I did marching band all the way up through my junior year of high school. But I was like, I don't want to say ashamed because I wasn't ashamed, but I just was like, you know, it wasn't like the cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I switched from the flute to the piccolo.
Me too. Me too.
Kidding. Because I could fit the piccolo case like in my purse. So when I had to bring it home on Friday to like go play at the football game where all my friends were just hanging out, you know, with their friends and not playing in the marching band, I had my little piccolo in my purse when I was leaving school.
You were probably so cute. I can't even handle it. Did you wear the like uniform? And
oh, yeah. I mean, feather and everything.
I would love for my kid to be in the marching band. It just sounds so wholesome. Healthy. Good. I'm sure there's like all kinds of shit we don't know about, you know, the seedy underbelly of the marching band. Hang out. But more on that later.
There was some action in the back seats of the bus on those trips, you know.
Yeah, you know, you hear about like the theater kids.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff happening all the time. Chaos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not shy.
A bunch of extroverts for sure. Yeah. Right. Not so in the marching band, but
but you find your people.
It yeah. was fun. Honestly, it was fun. And I'm not like a very athletic person. And so I feel like that you learned about your coordination, you know, you have to really like keep your spot. And if you screw up, everybody can see because you're not forming whatever shape you're supposed to be forming. It's not right.
Do your kids, are they into music?
They really love music. They love playing music in the car. They'll always ask him to turn a song up louder. They love when Hunter brings out the guitar and it's playing at home. And just over the weekend, Jack was asking Hunter to show him how to play the guitar.
Aww.
And so I'm hopeful that they'll want to do something with that, you know. But they definitely love music. We always have music playing.
So cute. Okay, now can we get some background on three things that you're proud of, past, present, and future?
Okay. Past, I would say two different times in my adult life, I've made some like pretty scary big leap of faith moves, like geographical moves. I was in college in Florida for a couple of years, and then I changed my mind and what I wanted to do. And I decided to pursue fashion merchandising. And I was at a school that did not have that as a program. And so I moved from Gainesville, Florida to New York City, very different at the age of 21. And, you know, that was one of like the best times of my life. And I feel like I really grew up there and I really learned a lot about myself and grew a lot of confidence in myself, because you have to like really hold your own there. You're walking down the street and some creepy man's going to yell at you and catcall you, or, you know, you have to walk home from places at 3 in the morning. And it grew me up really fast. And it was a really cool experience. And not for nothing, that's where I met Hunter, so that was pretty special. And then another one of that, the second part of that, is that a couple of years ago, we, in the middle of the pandemic and the world shutting down and people losing jobs and everything, I lost my job. And, you know, Hunter kind of lost his livelihood too. He couldn't tour. So it was a really scary year for us. And I had gotten, I was reached out to by a former colleague of mine who had gotten a job. And she was like, hey, there's a position that's reporting into me and I would love to have you interview for it. The catch is, it's in North Carolina and they would want you to move there. And so we were living in South Florida, where we were, you know, 10 minutes away from my family and a lot of help and just like a really close community. And I've been interviewing for jobs for a while and nothing was really working out. And so I interviewed for this job and they offered it to me. And so it was like a scary thing deciding to take it and move so far away. And our boys were really young. They were like a year and a half and almost three. We're just, gosh, it was, you know, can we do this? What do we do when we get there? But it was really, you know, needing to provide a living for the family and, you know, means to get by. So took the job, and Hunter and I and the kids moved up here. We knew nobody in the area, and we had, you know, I had never even been to this area of North Carolina before. So it was scary, but honestly, I feel like it's probably one of the best things that we could have done. We have like made such amazing friends, and we really feel like this is the place that we're meant to be. And so I think I'm just really proud of taking the leap of faith that we did and doing hard things.
Yeah. For someone contemplating like a big move, do you have any sort of insight or advice on what felt right versus like how you went about it? And
I mean, it was scary, you know, as we were even just driving the car right up here. And I think that really like things will work their way out. We had to make some changes and compromise our schedules for the first while to really be able to have like childcare and to be able to have jobs that worked out with our schedule and everything, but it all ended up working out. And so maybe just be patient and have faith that things will eventually work out, even though it might be hard for a while, because it was. We had, you know, it was really hard for the first while, but it all ended up being really good.
There's something really rewarding, I think, about it, you know, as great as it is and valuable to have family really close by, obviously, for a plethora of reasons. I think there's something so special about finding a city that's yours, that you have no ties to, and you can make it exactly what you want. There's no expectation or...
Yeah, for sure.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. It's good. And honestly, I'm not that far from Misha. And the fact that we haven't gotten together is tragic, and shame on us.
I know. We need to, for sure. Just get all the kids together like at a park or go meet at a restaurant. I still don't know where Kernersville is. I've only heard of it because you live there.
It's right in between Winston-Salem and Greensboro. So like,
oh yeah,
it's not far.
No, we should meet in one of those towns. They have lots of cute stuff.
We should.
Okay, it's on the schedule.
We're gonna do it.
It's on the tentative schedule. Wait, did you have present or future though?
Present. Let's see. It's probably kind of cliche, or unoriginal, but I'm really proud of being a mom. I'm proud of seeing the growth in my kids and every little day and watching them. They're at really cool ages now where they're making their own decisions and they're thinking logically. And it's kind of cool to like to see, even when they make the wrong decisions and you know, you sit down and have conversations, it's really cool to see the way that they learn and grow and think through a lot of things. And so while, you know, the growing up and the learning is on their own, I'm proud of them and like proud of myself and, you know, all the different things that we do in our own life to be parents and be good parents.
A lot of things. Yeah.
It's a lot of things.
That's so sweet. And then the future?
The future, that one's hard. I feel like I am like such a planner and I'm very organized and I like everything, you know, kind of has a place, but I really don't look that super far into the future. It's one of those where I think you can plan for the future, but like you have no guarantee that it's actually going to shake out in the way that you're planning or the way that you think or the way that you hope. So I don't know, maybe proud of expecting the unexpected and just rolling with the punches.
As lifelong learners and also big fans of ordering wine in other languages, Misha and I tried to learn as much Italian as possible before our writing trip this year. Now we're studying Portuguese too, and are so excited to partner with Babbel.com, Language for Life, to offer 55% off subscriptions to our listeners. As band wives and women who honestly can't sit still, we're loving their online classes and app-based lessons for learning on the road and on the go. They also have podcasts and games, and if you listen to our podcast, you know we can't get enough of those. We're hooking you up with discounted memberships so that you can learn to order vino tinto anywhere in the world. Visit bandwivespod.com/babbel to sign up today. Okay, so you moved to North Carolina. Your family are in Florida. I'm sure that it's challenging finding like your childcare team and backup and all those kinds of things. Now that your partner's back out on the road, What is the hardest thing when he is gone? And what advice do you have for other band wives or spouses out there?
It is hard when he's gone. And we're lucky because my mother-in-law moved up here a couple years ago. So, I mean, when I say that like the travel's picked up with my job, I wouldn't be able to have this job if she wasn't here. So just with, you know, his schedule now and everything, but it is still hard. And as much as, you know, having someone down the road to help, kind of like what I said at the beginning, where we put so much more on ourselves, it's just like juggling the day to day, the everyday stuff. And, you know, they get home from school, the kids, and you've got 2 hours to cook dinner and eat and clean up and do homework and bath and get them in bed. And then you have, you know, what, 2 hours to yourself. And it's less daunting when your partner's at home and you're kind of splitting the tasks. I'm not a great person to ask for help, or I'm not a good person that asks for help. I don't as often as I should. And, you know, the only person who suffers from that is me. It's just hard when he's gone. So asking for help, you know, and letting, being a good receiver of help, not expecting someone to like reach out and say, what, you know, what can I do to help? Just being like calling up my mother-in-law and be like, can you come and just like give the kids a bath?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Simple. Like you cry in the corner, dogs.
sometimes it is like that. And I don't know. I think that it's hard when they're gone, and I sometimes have the tendency to like get a little, you hold a little bit of a grudge where you're like, you're just off and having fun every day. And you're, you know, band members don't do a lot during the day. You know, they're just kind of sitting around waiting for things to get started. And, you know, they sound check at 4 o'clock. So all day long, you're living your whole entire life. And so I have a tendency to get a little bit grudgy about that. But I think that, you know, maintaining like a really good line of communication when they're gone, and just even things like that, just saying, feeling a little bit like negative about you this week, or just, you know, I'm having a hard day and I'm wishing you were here, and doesn't feel fair that you're just hanging out with your buddies, playing video games on the bus.
Yeah.
And then you get to go like on a stage. And I think, like, not downplaying the fact that it's hard work, you know, for them from whatever time they go on stage until they go to bed late, you know, they are working, they're physically exerting themselves on stage, and they're meet and greeting fans after and all that stuff. Trying not to get any kind of like hostility against that.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes. You're like,
it's real work. Okay.
Right. Keep telling ourselves that.
We've been doing this podcast now for what, Misha? 2 years?
Yeah, I think so. Like, coming up on 2 years. Yeah.
I recently finished a tour that I was actually performing in with my husband. Usually I travel with him, speaking from that experience. Now that I've done it, listen. Guess who still took our kid on activities every day on the road? I'm up at 9. We're going to the ice cream museum. We're going on adventures. We're schlepping around. By the time we get back for the meet and greet and the VIP, it's 3:00. I've lived 1,000 lives. And I think to myself,
okay, the proof is in the pudding.
This actually is a luxurious time.
That's right.
Yeah.
You've got the experience. It's just now. Boredom. You know it.
Yeah.
It's like inertia. I think when you allow yourself to get into the state of just being inert until somebody rolls you into the venue, it feels exhausting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
not doing anything feels exhausting. But if you like continue with your routine, it's just one more thing.
And yeah, it's not exactly the same, but someone one time asked Anthony Bourdain if being a chef or being a writer was harder. And he laughed and he's like, being a writer is a luxury. And I feel like, you know, in many ways, being a performer or entertainer and having that dream job is a luxury. Yeah. And it's good for us to be here to remind them sometimes.
Yeah,
for sure. And granted, like, I'm not jumping around. I think like what we did was way less physical than what bands were playing for 2 hours. They're playing instruments. They're sweating. It's like a whole other thing. But there's got to be a medium here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hunter gets pretty wild up there. He's exercising the whole time.
He's extremely, extremely mobile on stage. Yeah. Although, you know what? Last year, he was playing a show in upstate New York, and he like was standing on the security rail guard thing, like interacting with the crowd. And he went to like some fans were kind of pulling him forward, and he lost his footing because, you know, he had his heavy guitar on. So he lost his footing, couldn't regain his balance. And so he kind of just threw himself out into the crowd to like crowd surf, to at least have support. And when they brought him back forward, they like dropped him down on the other side of the security barricade thing. And he landed right with all of his weight on his one ankle, and he broke it.
No.
And he was, you know, he couldn't play the rest of the set. He's sitting in the back. They were at a college. And so thankfully, I think one of the sports trainers came out, wrapped his ankle in ice, and he had to get back home from New York with this broken ankle. So he's like using a wheelchair in the airports, and he had a connection in, I think it was in JFK, which is like the worst place to have a broken ankle. And he got back home, and sure enough, he had fractured one of the bones, and he lived on the couch in our living room for like a month and a half, like no weight bearing.
I didn't know. Oh my gosh.
He had to be off of it for like 12 weeks. It was a very long time.
That is rough. And then to have to like carry through.
I mean, he couldn't do anything for the first few weeks. Like we have a 2-story house. He couldn't go up the stairs. You know, he couldn't help with the kids. He couldn't cook dinner. So like, it was almost as if he was on tour, but he was in the house and I was just staring at him. And I was like, oh my God.
Get better.
Fix your ankle.
You're like, okay.
Right? So yes, he is very active on stage, but he has now been, he has signed a verbal contract with me that he will be active safely because he's not allowed to break anything.
I totally relate, because if it happened to Adam, I'd be like, I'm really sorry, and I know you're hurt, but also you're a grown man with 3 children. It's time to make smart choices.
Yeah. I tried so hard. I was definitely not as sympathetic or empathetic as I should have been, but I was like, this is affecting me more than it's affecting you. And I am not doing well with this.
It's a dangerous game out there, and we're not getting any younger. None of us.
No. But they sure are pretending like they are just in their early 20s still in so many ways.
Oh, man. Okay. Wow. Well, that's wild.
Yeah.
I'm knocking on wood. I'm like,
You should. It, it was not a fun time. And I will tell you that no amount of anything is enough when it was like the beginning of summer and the kids.
No amount of wine is actually.
Yes, wine and anything. Sunshine, anything. Whatever is your vice. It's not sunshine. Enough. It's not enough.
It's not enough sunshine for this Florida girl and her husband on the couch.
And the young kids who just do not care. If you if I think I wasn't being empathetic, then the kids were like, whatever is lower than my level.
Yep. Have you seen the meme with like the coffin and it's like my kid at my funeral and there's like a child next to it being like, can I use the iPad?
Oh, yeah.
I saw a really funny one that was a mom in a full body cast in a wheelchair, and standing next to her is like the husband looking at his phone, and the kid, there's a kid standing there and he's looking at the mom and he was like, can I have a snack?
Oh my God.
Oh man. Yeah, I know. It's hard to know because our husbands are all very capable, but it's like, I imagine if I broke my leg, I would not be able to sit on the couch for a week, let alone a month. There's just so many things that I'm juggling at home.
I think just like even mentally, you know?
Right, exactly.
Right? Yeah. We just wouldn't allow it.
I'd be like, build me one of those stair things. And Adam would be like, well, it's just like, it's going to get better. And I'm like, no, I need one. I got to get upstairs. I got to take a shower.
That kind of happened to me after I had our first baby, Oliver, you know? And I had a natural delivery and everything went really well, but I'm, you know, a couple of days at home and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, they told me not to do a lot of stuff, but I can't not do a lot of stuff. And I remember my sister came over and it was like 2 days after I had gotten home from the hospital and I'm like washing dishes in the kitchen and she walks in my house and she's like, what are you doing?
Oh my gosh.
Go sit down.
Did you learn your lesson with Jack? Because I feel like by the time Sylvie came, the third one, I was like, oh yes, the newborn phase. I'm just going to lay on the couch and hold this baby. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to cherish it.
I did. And I tried, but my kids are less than 2 years apart in age. And so like, while that was what my intentions were, you know, the older kid who was still less than two was just like had different plans, you know?
Yeah. I forget that. My kids were always in kindergarten before the other one came. We had a good schedule
there.
Yeah.
Pretty nicely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this is our doozy. This is kind of our like ultimate question here. What do you know to be true about yourself, the world, and the universe?
Myself. And this is more of a recent, not a realization, but I'm trying to drill it into my head that I am just so imperfect. We as humans are imperfect, but I am imperfect. But I am me, and I am proud of who I am, and I need to be proud of who I am in all the different ways. And so I say like affirmations with my kids in the mornings before they go off to school, and it's those things like, I am smart, I am brave, I'm strong, I'm beautiful, I'm a good friend. And so I would have them say it, and then I've started saying it along with them because we need to acknowledge that about ourselves too. And so while I'm imperfect, I am a lot of other really good things. And I'm really proud of who I am at this point in my life. And I think that just recognizing that and putting that out into the world so that we ourselves remember that every day, even on the hard days.
I love it. It's so true. But I feel like unless you start young and you like instill that in them, the world has other plans, you know, and it can be hard to get that back. But I like what you said first, where you start with, I'm not perfect, I don't have to be perfect, no one is, but I'm still all those other good things.
That's a really good point about starting it younger versus later.
Yeah,
it's in the same way as like, for us as adults, sometimes it's hard to talk about ourselves, you know. I just think a couple of weeks ago, I had my like year-end review with my boss at work. And part of it is like, you know, say these things that you're proud about for your, you know, for your year about yourself. And it's hard. It's hard to like sit and sometimes speak about ourselves. Okay. One thing I know to be true about the world, in a similar vein to that last one, there is so much in the world that I can't control. And I just have to live with that and be okay with that. You know, I think control what you can and then accept what you can't control, but also, you know, do your best to make things right and beautiful and as perfect as we can. And I use the word perfect, and it's probably not a good thing, but as beautiful as we can. And then the universe, what I know to be true about the universe, kind of really similar, I guess, to the world. It's really big, and there's just a lot of unknowns. And I think that it's how you handle the unknowns as they come. And then in the same vein, in being a mom, is, you know, how we show our children how to handle the unknowns in like a productive and like positive way.
Yeah.
What about aliens? Yes, no?
I mean, I don't think that we're the only ones out there, you know? And I don't know what that looks like and what if the aliens are what we picture with the big alien heads and the ET fingers. But I mean, I think it's selfish for us to think that we're the only people or the only beings in a whole entire universe, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either.
In multiple universes and parallel universes.
Right? There's so much darkness and lightness and all the different stuff out there.
I like what you said about control, because I need daily reminders that I can't control everything. And so you were mine for today, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, I need that one very often.
Yeah, that's really, it's always really fun to hear everyone's answers and see there's like a lot of crossover, and I find that very comforting.
Yeah.
Like, be good, do good, be flexible. You don't know everything. You can't know everything. Accept it.
Yeah. I think there's like, there's no other way. I mean, what are you going to do?
People try.
I know. I know.
Okay, well, now we're going to get a little less serious and move on to our rapid fire questions.
Okay.
First of which is, what are you binge watching, reading, or listening to?
Ooh, okay. Well, you know, I feel like along with everybody else right now in the social media world, I have been watching Love is Blind.
Yes.
I'm sure you knew that was coming.
I was hoping.
So I only watched the first season years ago when it first aired. And I, you know, watched it and was like, this is whatever. But everybody, when I was at the office 2 weeks ago, was talking about this new season. And so I just finished binge watching Love Island UK, which is like probably my most cringeworthy, what is it? Just like a bad obsession, garbage TV. But I love Island UK because the things they say and the way they say them.
The accents, yeah.
Yes. And like, and just some of their verbiage. I watched a season of Love Island US, and the whole time I was just like, bleh. Like, we just sound so yucky when we talk after you watch the UK stuff.
And you're especially to be American.
And like some of the lingo that like the young people are saying these days is very cringy. But it is my guilty pleasure. Love Island, only the UK version, not US. But I am watching Love is Blind. I just started it over the weekend. And honestly, I just think it's so bad.
So bad. They are making North Carolina look so bad.
Right, because it's in Charlotte, isn't it?
Yes, this season? I'm ashamed.
I was going to see if you guys knew anybody.
I know people who know people. I'm only on episode 6, so I'm waiting to watch with my friends, and it's hard for everyone to. So I've only at them leaving Dominican Republic. That's where.
Okay.
Are you that far, Caitlin?
No, I'm only on, I think I just finished episode 2 or 3 last night, so I'm really early. Okay. They're still in the pods. Like, the first couple just got engaged, and I'll be honest with you, I was sitting there by myself watching it, and I was like narrating out loud how stupid these people are. You know when men will like narrate during like football games and they're like coaching from their couch. I was like coaching from my couch, and I'm like, these people are so stupid. I cannot believe that you're falling for what this man is saying. I can't believe that like you've talked to him once and you love him. Are you unwell?
Like, but I do love you. What are you talking about? Like, I've had chicken nuggets in my life longer than this relationship.
Yeah, in the backseat of my car underneath the seat. One of my friends is watching it for the first time ever, never watched it before. And she has a like friend, her coworker's sibling or something, you know, is on the show. So it's like she has the sort of inside track. And She was like, I guess I better watch it. And she was saying the same thing. She's like, no, this is so stupid. Don't you dare say I love you. Stop saying it. Stop saying you'll always love them. Stop. And she's like, can't get through it. So I feel like I've been there the whole time. So I like the reality shows with high stakes. If someone's going to have to get married, I'm going to watch the show. But this season is hard to want to watch.
That first engagement, and he came out and he was like, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you. And I'm like, you don't know her.
You're like, don't touch her. Stop touching her.
Sometimes I'm like, you guys are 24. They're like, I've waited my whole life to find love. You haven't waited at all. Like, there's a lot of time left, guys. Calm down.
Some of them are so young.
They're so young.
I wonder that with some of these reality dating shows. I'm like, did you even try? Because you're 23 and you're on this show. Like, have you tried to do it the normal way? I don't know. Maybe it's just this generation, which makes me sound old, but
like these young kids. No, they shouldn't get to be on Love is Blind or a marrying show. Like the younger sexy shows with whatever, be young. But if you're going to get married, I feel like they should be 30 or something. Yes. Something like that.
Yes.
I mean, I got married when I was 24, so I do not have a voice in this fight. But it was an accident. It just happened upon me. It wasn't like I was like, I need to get married now.
Yeah. If it happens upon you, then it's the right thing. But like when you give up all hope at 23 that you're ever going to find love, you're like, my dudes, you have a lot of time. There's so much world out there. Go live it. Right? Find out who you are.
They feel like they've already just been crushed by the world, and it's like you have not been crushed. Give it 10 years.
Crushed is
right.
And then at the end of it, when the ones who willingly put themselves on the show are like, I guess I'm just not ready to get married. We could see that coming.
Kind of pisses you off because you wasted all this time watching their journey.
I know.
I just was really impressed by the Seattle and Portland region, and I think there's something about the geographic nature of these cities and what's the vibe and the energy and the politics. I don't know what the reason is, but that area had a lot of mature people, had like 4 marriages or something. I don't want to give anything away, but I feel like if Charlotte has any actual successful relationships come out of this, I will be shocked.
I feel like, and I think we can both speak to this, Caitlin, in places where there's too much sunshine, it like warps people's brains.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
There's got to be something to it.
I don't know, because I think that the sunshine is good for us. I was just talking with a friend of mine. Last weekend was like the first nice spring weekend, and I don't do well in the winter. It is that I like agree with the seasonal depression. And my neighbor and I were just talking last week, and I was like, I feel like I'm solar powered. I feel like I've just come back to life today.
But it is today. Today's so nice and sunny.
It is. I'm thankful for that. But you're right. Maybe a little bit too much sunshine makes people a little bit wacky.
Sometimes I feel like it messes with your serotonin. Like you just get too much as a child. Nothing can ever compare. It's really hard to be happy again.
Well, rumors are the next season is in Minneapolis, where they have no sunshine except for in July. And so we'll see how well they do. I have really high hopes. That's where, I'm from there. And so I'm thinking, if they don't pull through and restore my faith in man, I was going to say humanity, but it's mostly like manity, then I'll be really sad.
If they don't do a date at the Mall of America.
No, I don't think that we should hold our breath, but you never know. You never know. Maybe.
I also don't think that we can put our faith in humanity on reality TV contestants. Fine.
True. So thank you for the respective reminder.
But the UK edition.
Right, yes.
No, I think all the people are fine, and I'm sure they're wonderful people. And I've always loved watching the show and being really surprised or impressed by someone's insight or wisdom, and being like, oh, it's so amazing that they like came to that conclusion or they learned this from that experience. So I don't want to downplay that, because I actually never watched reality TV until I watched Love is Blind, and I was intrigued. So, but I do think that the situation is so absurd that it can tend to bring out sometimes the worst in people. Yeah. The most dramatic, the most insecure.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Because it does take a lot of courage to like go on to a reality TV show and put yourself in the hands of the nation and everybody's opinions that you can put out in the world now. I mean, you can go on Instagram and Twitter and just bash someone that you don't know. So you're risking a lot, but
yeah, I don't know why anybody would do that.
I know. There's just some people though that like go on those shows and I'm like, you could have been better.
Yeah.
You could have made better choices.
Maybe that's the thing, is if you're sort of a narcissist who operates under that like umbrella of just lies and deceit and like manipulation, you think you're maybe smarter than everybody else, editors or not?
Yeah, that's the scary thing. I mean, everyone else is making mistakes and fumbling and tripping, but then there is like the people who are like, oh, you're engaged and you have a child and you're yes. doing all this other stuff and you didn't tell anyone and you thought no one would. That's a little much. That's too yeah. far.
My favorite is to armchair diagnose them with things. I'm like, interesting.
Don't we love doing that?
You're pathologizing. Yeah.
Every yeah. single thing.
I have a tendency to do that. Adam would tell you. I have a tendency to do that. I'm working on it. No judgment zone.
No judgment.
Okay, we'll move on from Love is Blind, though I'm sure we could find a lot more to say about that. Caitlin, what would your theme song be?
This one was hard. And I don't think I have like a good real answer, but in this season of life, we're like kind of with my work travel, I'm like sandwiched in between like two of Hunter's tours and like all the school things. I feel like my theme song right now, or at least what like lives in my head, is one of those crazy EDM songs where there are just all these different sounds happening and they're all fighting for like the front space. And then like in the background is my kid shouting, mommy, mommy, can I have a snack? But everything else, I don't know. It just feels like there's so much going on. But I also wish my wishful theme song would be just like something peaceful and tranquil and the music that they play for you when you're at the spa. So maybe it's some sort of a hybrid of that. And I don't think that exists, but
we can invent it. Yeah.
Not like a true tangible song, but that's where I'm at right now. Gosh.
I love like new age spa music so much.
Yes.
Oh, that's really funny. When you were saying that about the EDM, I'm like, at least I hope you're like getting to dance a little then, like a good rhythm.
You have to.
Chaotic jazz thing.
I like that. Chaotic jazz. I think the dancing gets you through.
I think that's a good motto for life.
Yep.
Okay. Last one. Thank you so much for coming, by the way. This has been so lovely.
It has been so
I hope
fun.
That you guys get to see each other now that you-
We will.
Yes.
We I put it to. Out into the world mm-hmm. in this conversation. So we have to.
What is one small thing or guilty pleasure that you look forward to when your partner is traveling?
This is, I mean, I guess more so in like the pre-kid years, because now you're kind of like, you have to do stuff for the kids too. But I do like just having the home to myself for so long. It was just the two of us and we were just used to that. He was gone and then he was back. And, you know, we'd start to like, get a little bit annoyed. And I'm like, don't you have a show? Don't you need to go play a show or something? Don't you need to leave for just like a weekend? I like having the house to myself and, you know, getting to watch whatever trash TV it is of the week. And I don't always watch trash TV. I feel like I'm not painting myself in the best light here, but
no judgment.
I want to say like the thing that has always been my favorite. And I think now there's like a name for it because the young kids of today always have to give everything a name, but like, whatever I want for dinner, like the girl dinners, you know? So my favorite, and this is so random, and I don't even know where I came up with it and why. I mean, it's not easy. Triscuit pizzas. It's
a lot of work. A lot of
it's regular so or garlic?
Oh, I mean, garlic always. But like, it is not an easy thing because you have to have like 12 Triscuits at least to make it filling. So you have to like put the sauce on each little Triscuit and then drizzle the cheese on each little Triscuit. And I honestly think I would just like microwave. I don't even think I would put them in the oven or the toaster oven. But that was my go-to like girl dinner.
Adorable.
A bunch of little bites
yes.
versus a meal. Glorious.
Love a tapas. Love a Triscuit tapas.
Exactly. Just an unstructured dinner. It doesn't mm-hmm. have exactly that. It doesn't even have yeah. to be what you would define as like a protein and a veggie and a starch or whatever mm-hmm. the traditional dinner is. Like my husband still just needs like a big filling dinner. And for me, I can just pick on something, or I can have popcorn on the couch at 8 o'clock and that's dinner, or a bowl of cereal.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then what's the other word that the kids are saying? Herkle-derkling.
What?
This is a thing. When you just kind of like lay in bed doing nothing, looking at your phone or watching a show or just kind of lounging. Herkle-derkle.
That feels like a very complicated term, like a very simple thing.
Yeah. Sounds like German or Norwegian or something. Yeah.
I believe it's an old term that's just like returned.
I'll
tell you right now. Oh, a 200-year-old Scottish term.
Oh, it's Scottish.
Meaning to lounge in bed long after it's time to get up.
Caitlin, are you Scottish or Irish? I remember your maiden name. It's Kelly, right?
Yeah, I'm Irish and German, mostly Polish, which I think is the stubborn, controlling part of me.
Is that where it comes from?
I like to blame it on that.
Well, I hope you have the best weekend away. I hope you get to do some of these luxurious things on your trip. A bed to yourself, a hotel, put on your bad TV, enjoy every second.
Yeah. Town Place Suites, you can make your Triscuit pizza.
I'm going to go see the Bellagio fountains in all my years. And all the times that I've been to Las Vegas, I've never seen the Bellagio fountains. And it is on my bucket list this week. I'm going to do it.
Love that.
Yeah, I've never seen it either.
Now it's on ours.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on. Take care. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Thank you, Caitlin. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Great.
All right, bye.
Bye, ladies.